How many times have you ever asked anybody, how's it going? And they say, oh, same old, same old. Do you know that is the, get ready. I'll try to be gentle. That is the, let's see if I can get this thing going in the right direction. There you go. That is the biggest fib anybody's ever told. Same old, same old. I promise you today, that your life is never the same old, same old. You know, when my daddy and I were talking this morning, I got him so he don't say that anymore. And I almost said it. And I said, you know what, daddy, mine is the same old, same old. Every time I get ready to do one thing, I get a call to go do another thing. When I'm trying to talk to one person, I get a call from another person. Or I'm trying to work on something, I say, so my same old is, it's just going. Life is going and life is good. And so, Everybody in here, everybody, we all live, never is it the same old, there's always something. And there's always challenges. I thought this was a very appropriate story to start off with about the challenges. Two nuns run out of gas a mile from the gas station. They're rummaging around the car for a gas can and so, or some other container to hold the fuel, but all they can find is a bedpan. So they take the bedpan and they walk the mile to the gas station. They fill the pan and walk back to the car. His life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant. I'm trying not to be empty. I'm trying to pull back. I'm trying not to let it get there, but it's getting there anyway. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone as far as you can go? Mentally, spiritually, however. You've gone as far as you can go. You've taken all you can take. You've given all you can give. You ever been there? Welcome to running on empty. Running on empty is not a fun place to be. It's not an awesome place to be. It's probably one of the driest places you will ever be in your life. But you know what? You know, again, you know, I understand that sometimes life hits hard. And then sometimes life hits harder. But no matter what, life is always hitting. Amen? So the question is, really, which direction is it coming from? And how hard is it hitting? Because no matter, you know, yeah, I wish I had their life. Really? If you really knew their life, would you really want their life? Yeah, I wish I was like that person. Really? If you really knew their life, would you really, really want their life? So here we go. Again, we're going to take a look. Today's going to be the builder to get us up to a couple more weeks of this, okay? Running on empty. Elijah was running on empty mentally, physically, and spiritually. He was exhausted. Have you ever felt like that? That little Energizer bunny? He's on life support. Most of the time you see the Energizer bunny, he's still going where everybody else is gone. The Energizer, you know it's going to be a bad day when the Energizer bunny ain't got any power left. Amen. So, what happens is, when all this is going on, when you're running on empty, some bad things begin to happen in your life. There's a danger of running on empty. Some of us run on empty so much, we don't know what it's like to actually have a full tank of gas. All right? So the danger of running empty is it leads to burnout. And burnout is actually when your resources are stretched. You're stretched. Burnout creates brokenness. And brokenness is now when it's gone from being stretched to being strained. And then brokenness leads to depression. And now you're not just stretched, you're strained and you're drained. Can somebody say that with me? Stretched, strained, and drained. Say it. Stretched, strained, and drained. There's a lot of people in our lives right now that are either stretched, they're either strained, or they're drained. And if you hear somebody that is suffering, their red light's coming on, they're doing all three. They're stretched, strained, and drained. And it's a terrible place to be. It's a dangerous place to be. Because when you run out of gas, what happens? The car ceases to run. When you give out of gas, your destination has to be put on hold. Soon you're going to be walking if you expect to get anywhere, okay? So now, the Bible is so full of God's people that were facing empty tanks, but they had to keep on going. If you're a parent in here, you know what it's like to be facing an empty tank, but you got to keep on going. On your job, you know what it's like to be facing an empty tank, but everybody's depending on you, so although you got an empty tank, you keep on going. You know what it's like? I remember when Bethany had cancer. There was times that Linda and I just wanted just to find some place to crash. But we couldn't because Bethany was sick and needed us. So we kept, our tank was empty, but we kept on going. This last 5 years with her parents, there's so many times we just wanted to find a way to go somewhere and hide, but we couldn't because we had to keep on going. And this story is just minor to some of the stuff you're having to go through. Amen. Brandon, can I tell that story you just told me about the picture? Brandon, it's all in perspective. It really is. Brandon and I were talking this morning, and he told about a guy that he works with that was an Army scout in Afghanistan. One of those places. He was over there anyway, Kuwait, Afghanistan, somewhere, Iraq. But he has this picture up. In front of him, and there's something burning in the distance. Something burning, that's him, and something burning in the distance. And so Brandon asked, said, what is that? He said, that's my Humvee after I hit an IED. He said, whenever I'm having a bad day, I'll go look at that Humvee burning, and I'm still here, and that reminds me, puts me back in perspective, keeps me humble and keeps me directed, because that could have been me. Burning up. in that Humvee. So in the same way, we all need to work on our perspective and try to remember when things are going bad, that there has been times in our life that we've been there before, maybe not this extreme, but God was always there. Okay, so now we're talking about people that are facing in the Bible. We're talking first Moses. Moses himself, he was living with daily, constant complainers. I know none of us in here are complainers. Okay, everybody's happy with everything. Y'all are giggling. So that must mean somebody knows somebody that's always not. So he was always living with constant complainers. And so he would just say, God, just take, look, let's just start over again. God, why'd you pull me in this? God, you can't take them out because you said you were going to take them out. Then he said, take them out. No, take them out. No, don't. I don't know what to do, God. You give me a bunch of people that all they want to do is complain. You know, I remember my family started complaining about what mama was cooking. So mama said, okay, I got something for you. You got two choices tomorrow night. So we come along, and we thought it was going to be a buffet. Mama said, you got two choices. We said, we saw the beans there. And we said, okay, where's the two choices? She says, right there. I said, there's only one pot. She said, yeah, you got two choices. Take it or leave it. Amen. And David, I'm just going to read a little bit. David in Psalm 31. He says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity and my bones are consumed. I was approached among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors and feared to my acquaintances. For they did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Here's the mighty giant slayer. The one that sang all those psalms. He's having a bad day. Alright? Then Job. Job says, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? And are not his days like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desires the shadow, and as a hireling looking for the reward of his work, so am I to possess months of vanity. You got to step for me, God. Look, so if our lives, and you know what? You may not see it. You may not hear it from them, but every person I know of, every person that I know of, and all ones I don't even know of, everybody has a bad day. Not only does everybody have a bad day, sometimes they have a bad week, sometimes they have a bad month. Sometimes things get on them so hard that they begin to pray to God just to take it away or take them away. So if that happens to you, don't think that you're unusual, you're normal. What's not normal is how you climb out of it. What's not normal is how you handle it so it doesn't get the best of you. That's where God comes in. So let's just look at Elijah. This is just the beginning. We're going to finish up next. It'll take about two more weeks. But this is just the beginning because I don't want us to miss anything. There's Elijah. Bless his heart. Laid out under that juniper tree. He's had it. I mean, he has had it. You know what? I know a media person that is right there right now, but you can't see it because it's on the inside, not the outside. All right? So here we go. Very first thing is he's running on feelings. 1 Kings 18 and 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, you got to understand something. This is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Because he just helped bring revival back to the nations, or to the nation, but not only bring revival back, it hadn't rained. He actually was the one, because of this revival being kicked in, the drought was being kicked out. And so here he is, he's doing some good things. Now let me just say that you understand something. It said that he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You got to understand something. Jezreel is 18 miles from where he's at. 18 miles. The king's horses are the greatest horses in the land, and the king's chariot never has one horse. It has two horses. And many times it has four horses. I can't outrun one horse. Anybody here can outrun a horse? Unless it's the one out there in front of the, you know, stop and go. Out there in front of Roses, I can outrun that one. Sometimes. Put the quarter in the slot. He was so full of God and so full of anointing that all he did was he pulled up his skirt, girded his loins so his legs could move, and he outrun 2 to 4 champion steeds 18 miles. Wow. 18 miles. He didn't just outrun them into the sprint. He outrun them in the marathon on the long track. You know, the Bible says in Joshua 23 and 10, one of you shall put to flight 1,000, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you as he promised. Amen? In other words, you give God your natural, he'll put his super with it, and it becomes supernatural. That's exactly what happened, because he outran all those horses 18 miles. It's amazing. Now he's running on emotion. He's running on adrenaline. He's running on faith. He's running because he's seen God do something great, and he hasn't finished what he's done. So what he's supposed to do. So here he is. It's one of the greatest moves of God. The nation is turned back to God. And Elijah is running on an emotional high. Now, just stop for a second. I just want you to sit back and think. Don't point to anybody. Don't think of anybody else. Just yourself. Have you ever been there? You're on an emotional high. God has moved in your life. You've seen some very powerful, powerful, powerful moves. Maybe there was a bill that couldn't be paid, and God supernaturally paid that bill for you. Or there was a sickness that the doctors didn't have a cure for. Supernaturally, God healed that person. One way or the other, God came through for you. And because God came through for you, now here you are. You're on this spiritual high. You're on an emotional high because God has done so much for you. Now, without even a 24-hour turnaround, remember this, he's still on this high. And while he's on this high, the Bible just switches right over to 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I not make his life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. When he saw that, remember, when you put Saul, look, you either walk by faith or you walk by. The Bible didn't say when he heard that. It said when he. So now, here's literally God's Superman. Here's the man that is amazing at what he can do. before God and all the things that happened and building the altar and watching the fire fall and outrunning the chariots for 18 miles. All this stuff. The drought stopping. And one person gives him a threat. And he goes from his heart doing all God said. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You know, we're going to build this altar. God's going to take care of business. Now he switches from here to here. Same way with Peter. Peter's walking on the water. Says, Lord, if it be thou, you bid me come. And Jesus says, come. And he jumps out on the boat and jumps onto the water and his face kicking in. And the Bible said when he what? Saw the wind and saw the waves. When he saw it, it switched from here to here. It switched from his faith to his feelings. Then all of a sudden, he starts sinking. Now, Elijah, who is God's Superman, found his kryptonite. Everybody in here has some kryptonite in your life. Something that can bring you down just like that. Bam! And it's important when you see the kryptonite that you don't switch from here to here. Because it will take you down. It will zap your strength. It will zap your emotions. It will zap everything. And so watch this. Watch this. First, it was one of the greatest moves of God. Now it's one of the greatest threats of Satan. Because now, watch this. Look, he hears this, and now he's afraid. All he did 24 hours before, and now he's afraid. Wow. He runs. He's standing toe-to-toe with all these prophets. He's standing toe-to-toe with Israel. He's got it all going on, but now he's on the run. 1 John 4:18 says, for there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. That word torment literally means, listen, it means it's to be locked up, to be locked down like a prison sentence. Locked up or locked down. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love. The Amplified Version. But there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of the doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. You know, what I do is, I know y'all don't have to do this, but what I do is to keep myself in shape to step out of the box. I just step out of the box sometimes. God's not leading me. I just step out of the box. You know, I'll be walking to the store and something happens over here. I see something in the shopping cart with somebody else, or I hear somebody, whatever, see what's going on. And I just walk over and start talking to them. And I start cutting up. And it was really crazy. Thursday night, we had stopped at Little Caesars. And not Little Caesars, but Domino's. And so we had to wait a few minutes for the pizza. And so we're sitting in the car, and I see this Dodge Charger, black. And the guy was dressed dark, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to go there and say, you got a speed trap over here for all these people getting pizza? You know, my little stuff trying to, you know, Linda says it's a wonder I'm not dead. Some other guy says it's a wonder I'm not dead by now. That's just one of the ways I keep it going is I do things like that, you know, from time to cut up and keep myself on the edge. And she said, I don't think I'd do that. And so she said, the piece is just about ready. So I started at the door. She says, where are you going? I said, I think I am going to do that. And she said, dear, he don't look like he's in a playing mood. I said, oh, it'll be all right. She said, I think you ought to listen to me. Stay down, preacher. As I said, okay, dear, I'm going to listen to you this time, but I really want to go over there. And about that time, the door opened, and he stepped out, and it was a policeman. And he was undercover, looked like. And I could tell by all his dress what he was wearing. And I reckon, I don't know if he was going after somebody or what, and he was really staking out, I'm not sure. But I was getting ready to get fried. So I'm glad that I listened to my wife and decided, stay down, preacher. Stay down. So now watch this. The Bible speaks of this kind of fear. And God even said it in Leviticus, I think 26th chapter, maybe it's the 17th verse, I'm not sure. He said, but if you get messing up, I'm gonna turn my face from you, and you're gonna run, and nobody's gonna be chasing you. The fear is gonna be so great that you're gonna run and nobody's chasing you. Now Elijah hadn't seen her come at him yet. All it was a verbal threat. But he knew that she had the power to take him down. And so, again, it went from here to here. So first he's on a spiritual high, but then 24 hours he's on a spiritual low. Because he knew that it weren't just her talking, it was Satan. And then finally, and we're getting ready, I'm getting close to closing. It ain't closed yet. Now he's running on empty, spiritual exhaustion. 1 Kings chapter 19, 4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Wait a minute. Up to this point, he was the most powerful man of God in his time. He just was used in the most powerful move of God at this time. Satan was afraid of this man. But now, he's saying, God, it's enough. Just kill me. Just let me die. Just like David, just like Job, just like Jeremiah. You know, just let me die, God. It would have been better if I hadn't been born. I wish I weren't even here now. Just let me die. Wow. Wow. Y'all say wow. Because you know what? I know maybe y'all have it. But I've been there. I know you might look surprised, but I've been there. More than once. You get so consumed with what's going on, and you get your heart out of it, your eyes in it, and now you've gone from faith to feeling, and now because you're with feelings versus faith, now you're starting to feel it. And when you start to feel it, all of a sudden, the situation you're under grabs you by the throat and starts to drag you down. The Bible said in Galatians 6 and 9, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. You see, it's at this point Elijah has a choice. And if you're here today and you're either strained or drained and challenged, you've got a decision to make. Elijah could either trust the move of God, or he could trust the threat of Satan. Wow. That's powerful. In the move of God, he's the one doing the challenging. When she starts talking, now he's challenged. And there's a choice. Do I trust the move of God, or do I trust her threats? I got to slow down and just say it one more time, because I believe somebody needs to hear that. In the situation you're in right now, from spiritual high to spiritual low to spiritual exhaustion, now's the time you have to make a choice. You're out of gas. Fear has anchored in and pulled you down. You got a choice. Do you trust the move of God, or do you trust the threats of the enemy? Wow. You ever been there? Not only is he out of gas, he's out of ideas. Of course, he is driving a Ford. That's probably the biggest reason. You're out of gas. You're out of ideas. You're just stuck. You may be there right now. Does that picture describe you? I'm asking you a couple questions. Has your life of faith become a life of fear? Has your life of faith become a life of fumes? Has your life of faith become empty? You got to remember something. God sees you. He's never left you. He's watching. He's watching every move. Here's where you have to trust the omniscience of God. To be able to see, He knows, because He's in your past, present, and future all at the same time. You got to trust that He sees where you're at. He's already prepared you for what you need at the moment, and He's preparing you now for what you're going to need later. It's training. Remember I told you a few weeks back when we were going through all this with my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, him dying and my mother-in-law trying to get her in a nursing home, and I heard it just as clear as a bell. When this is through, your training will be complete. Wow. I'm still not even sure what this training's for, but I've heard it again since then. When this is through, your training will be complete. So, do you trust again? Do you trust the move of God or the threats of Satan? Right now, here's how we're going to end it. And Brandon, you come up and play something softly. The tomb is empty, so you don't have to be. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Like I said before, I really wanted to preach on praise today. That was my goal. Life is so crazy because you never know what's going to throw at you. Just in the past few weeks, I remember, I won't mention his name, but a good friend of mine, preacher friend of mine, who we did a lot of conversing and had some plans to help some people out. And he winds up in a motorcycle accident, and it should have killed him, but it didn't. But he's now in a rehab trying to get over a brain injury. We're in a nursing home yesterday with my mother-in-law, and the nurse that helped us to figure out why her sugar was having problems, that nurse, who was probably younger than Linda and I, you'll find out yesterday she had died. She had an aneurysm. And when they tried to fix the aneurysm in her heart, she died. We can make all kinds of plans and we can be all kinds of afraid of things, but you know what? I really trust the move of God. I don't like listening to the threats of the enemy. Because fear has torment. It locks you up. And there's too much life. And we don't know how much longer we have here. I don't want to spend my time in fear. I want to spend my time walking by faith and watching God move. You can go along fine. I think about Bethany. We got in that car wreck and knocked her out. And the steering wheel, not steering wheel, but the seat belt, it caught her up under her arm. And so I just thought that her underarm hurting was from that wreck, that seat belt. And we found out that what it was that seat belt had irritated the cancer that was under her arm. And here we were trying to get her fixed from a car wreck. And find out, no, we're in the cancer center. Life has so many moves and so many switches. You gotta trust the move of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm gonna ask some questions now. Number one, I always like to ask this first. Are you where you should be with God right now? And I'm just going to make it, I'm going to put it in a lump here. Maybe you just have never really given it all the way over to Him. Or maybe you've given it all over to Him before, but because of life and the stresses and the bumps and the unexpected kryptonite, you've kind of cooled down with your relationship with God. If I'm talking to you right now, nobody looking around, every eye closed, would you slip the hand right now and say, Pastor, I really need God to help me get back in spiritual shape. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you're here, and like Elijah, you have let fear take control, and it's locked you down, and it's locked you up. There's so many things God would have you do, but you can't because you're locked down. And God says, my perfect love takes care of that. It's amazing how the fear with this torment and the solution to it is faith and love. My perfect love. Fear beats you up, ties you down, but love frees you. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you'd say, that's me. I've let fear get the best of me. I've let fear torment me, and I'm tired of being locked down. I'm tired of being hindered in my move for God. And for God to move in me. If I'm talking to you and nobody looks around, just put their hand up and say, I need that. I need you, God. I need you, God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. We're all going to pray together. Next week, we're going to talk about it even further. We're going to do some spiritual diagnosis into Elijah, God's Superman. I should have just changed the name of it from giving out a gas to God's Superman. Found his kryptonite. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace that I don't deserve. I thank you for your mercy that I don't deserve. I thank you, God, that although I may not be able to see your hand, I can trust your heart. I ask you right now to help me, Lord. I rededicate myself to you. Help me, God, to move in faith, not fear. Help me to choose your move over the threat of the enemy. God, this week, let it be a better week. Let something happen more powerful than ever. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, let's say the Lord's Prayer together, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.